We're going to finish the book of Jude today. Again, a short letter, just one chapter with 25 verses. But this letter is full of instructions and warnings. Instructions and warnings to the church. Jude spent a lot of time in verses 8 through 16 that we looked at last week, talking about the ungodly. This was important for him to write to them about. Remember, he wanted to write to them about our common salvation, as he says in verse 3. But he found it necessary to write, as verse 3 goes on to say. He was compelled to write to them an entirely different letter. He exhorts them to contend for the faith. He then goes on in verses 8 through 16 to explain why we must contend for the faith. The ungodly crept in unnoticed and wanted to pervert the grace of God and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. If the ungodly would have been able to do this, the faith, the truth that was delivered to the saints would have been corrupt and distorted, and they would have a false gospel that would lead to judgment and destruction. Today we are going to look at Jude's concluding exhortations, his concluding exhortations to believers in these closing verses of this letter. We're going to look at Jude's instructions to the believers in the last few verses of Jude. So our text this morning is Jude 17 through 25, Jude verses 17 through 25, and I'll read that passage now. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. In this closing section, Jude gives his readers instructions to follow if they want to contend for the faith and resist the ungodly. So first we'll look at the exhortation from the apostles. First we look at verses 17 through 19 as Jude gives an exhortation from the apostles. But you must remember, verse 17 says, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Remember, this verse is following the list of characteristics Jude used to describe the ungodly in verse 16. Jude describes the ungodly in that passage, or in that verse 16, as grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires, boasters, using flattery only for their advantage. He was showing the true nature of the ungodly people. So in verse 17, he goes right into reminding them of the predictions of the apostles. He makes a transition from criticizing the ungodly to the preparation of the believers to contend for the faith, to prepare for the necessary struggle that will come. The Lord had many disciples. He selected only a few to be apostles. The apostles lived with Christ during his earthly ministry. They learned from him and were sent by him to all the world to spread the good news, the gospel message of salvation. In a time when false teachers were seeking to corrupt and destroy the truth, the early church had the teaching of the apostles, and that was a test of truth. Jude mentions the words that were predicted by these apostles. He reminds them of what they said to you. The apostles had a wide ministry. We know only what is written in the New Testament of their ministry and work, but we do not have the full knowledge of their teaching and preaching. Their preaching was part of the verbal groundwork of faith for the early church. One of their prophecies was a prediction of scoffers or mockers in the last time who would live ungodly lives following their own ungodly passions. They denied God's truth because they did not want God to tell them how to live. They wanted to satisfy their own sinful desires. And the word of God condemns their selfish way of life. The church then must be vigilant, for the ungodly scoffers had appeared in the church. The goal for the ungodly is to substitute their lies for God's truth. So we must contend for the faith that has been given us. The ungodly, the false teachers, want to divide the church and lead people out of the fellowship into their false fellowship. Jude tells us this in verse 19. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. We see this also warned in Acts 20 in verse 30. That says, "And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." They cause divisions, and they try to appeal, like we talked about in James and also the three letters of John. Their appeal, the false teacher's appeal, is that they have a new revelation or a special understanding, a special revelation. They offer something deeper or new that is contrary to the gospel. They do this to divide the people of Christ. They not only try to divide the church, but they also deceive the church. They're called worldly people. Jude goes on to call them in verse 19. Worldly is the opposite of spiritual. There were all these false teachers, ungodly men, who claimed superior knowledge and experience, yet their lives were worse than those of the average pagan. Then Jude goes on to describe them as devoid of the Spirit. In spite of all of their prideful claims and teaching, the false teachers are devoid of the Holy Spirit. This is why they have no biblical or spiritual discernment, unlike the true believers who is given the Spirit to teach us, give us understanding of spiritual things. It takes the Spirit of God to minister to us and make us more like Jesus Christ. We have seen the exhortation, the warning from the apostles of the scoffers, the ungodly who follow their own ungodly passions. Now the next two verses, verses 20 and 21, we will see Jude's exhortation to the faithful. His exhortation to the faithful. Verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." He calls his readers beloved. This is personal to him. And he is redirecting the attention back to the believers. He now exhorts the believers for their spiritual profit. He tells them to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. As we talked about the progress of our Christian life in the letter of John, he refers to it as a walk, always moving forward, moving after that first step of salvation. The Christian life must never stand still. It must keep moving forward. The ungodly, the false teachers want to tear down and destroy, but each Christian must be moving forward, must be building up. The building yourselves up is a present participle, much like contending for the faith is a present imperative, which means it is continuous. It is not a one-time occurrence. It's not a one-time action. We do not build ourselves up in your most holy faith just once. No, we continuously build in our faith. We continuously progress in our Christian walk. And we, of course, continuously contend for the faith. Christian builds themselves up having fellowship with the Lord and with his people by continuing in the gospel and in the word of God and by worshiping him. The foundations of our Christian life is our most holy faith, as it says in verse 20. And is the same faith that is used in verse 3, the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, the faith that we are continuously to contend for. Our faith in Jesus Christ is the basis. It is the foundation for our growth in Christ. We can see how important it is to build our faith. The Word of God is essential in spiritual growth. We must daily spend time in the Word, seeking the truth of God. We must spend time in the Word, reading, but we must also study the Word so that we have a better understanding of His teachings. For a church, there is nothing better to be known as a church body that is devoted to the reading and study of Scripture. Christians, the faithful are to build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. The power for building the Christian life comes from prayer. The Word of God and prayer go together in spiritual growth. Acts 6 and verse 4 tells us, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We read the Word to grow in faith. Then we use that faith to seek God in prayer. We pray in the Holy Spirit. We pray according to the Spirit's will to accomplish God's work by God's power. Remember what we read in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. I love the word confidence. That word makes such a statement. We can have confidence in our prayer. We have confidence in our prayer as long as we ask according to his will. Verse 21 goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God. Christians are to keep themselves in God's love. The realm of God's love is in Jesus Christ. Those who depart from Christ depart from the love of God. Those who reject the commands of Jesus reject his love. We see this in John 15 and verse 10. That says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God's love is a holy love. It is not shallow. To love God is to love what he loves, and to hate what he hates. We love him by following his commandments. To have a deeper fellowship with the Father is to live a a dedicated, separated, obedient Christian life. We build our Christian life on the foundation of faith and through the motivation of love. But we can see from the second half of verse 21 that we also need hope. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We as Christians are to keep our attention fixed on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. True Christian hope keeps our present reality, our present circumstances in perspective of eternity, not in perspective of today. The mention of mercy reminds us that salvation is never because of good works, and that only in Christ is there hope of salvation. This waiting, or you could say earnestly expecting, is a way of life that is motivated by the promise of our Lord's return. As we have seen in Jude, the ungodly can only look for judgment, but God's people are looking for mercy. In His mercy, we have our salvation. We have our earnest expectation of eternal life. We live in the light of eternity, unlike the ungodly who live for today. They live for today's pleasures and today's reward. The faithful live for eternity. That means living for God. So today we live for God. Our actions, our words, our motives are from God, because we do not live for worldly pleasures that pass away. No, we live for our eternal reward. Most of us know the popular passage in Matthew 6, 19 through 20 that says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." The faithful find confidence in true Christian hope for our eternal security. We have looked at the exhortation from the apostles of the scoffers, the ungodly who follow their own ungodly passions. Then we looked at the exhortation of the faithful to grow, to progress in the faith, to always move forward in the holy faith. Now in verses 22 through 23, we will look at the exhortation of mercy. The exhortation of mercy. Verses 22 through 23 say this: "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." The growing Christian who is dedicated to growing in the faith is exhorted here to live a life filled with mercy. We see three different groups described in these two verses. Those who doubt is the first group. The first group of people who doubt. We are to show mercy to those who are doubting or hesitating. The teaching, an example of the false teachers, of the ungodly, have caused them to doubt, to be uncertain about their faith. So we must show mercy and compassion to them in true Christian love. One book said this about caring for those who doubt: "One of the best ways to draw them away from the false teaching is to magnify all that they have in Christ and to share His love for them. To share His love for them in a particular way, making their salvation so wonderful and the word so exciting that they will lose interest in the teachings of the apostates. It is not enough merely to refute the false doctrine. There must also be a warmth of love that assures the young believer, 'We care for you.'" Next, we see the burning. "Save others by snatching them out of the fire," the verse says. This group needs to be dealt with directly and quickly. Salvation is God's work, And here Christians are used as godly instruments for snatching brands out of the fire, as Zechariah 3 says. The picture is of a person slipping into the eternal fire, but rescued from error by the grace and the truth of God. The final group that is mentioned here, or that Jude talks about, are the dangerous. He says the others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The phrase with fear could also be said with caution. In trying to help those who appear to be deep in immorality, we must be cautious not to fall ourselves. We must show mercy, but do so in fear, do so in caution. Jude is warning that believers must not think that they are beyond sin's influence. Even when faithful followers, when they are following the Lord and seeking to rescue someone, we can become stained by those who we are helping. Perhaps the figure is that their depravity has made them infectious. Christians are to show mercy, but we must be cautious or fearful not to let the infection spread to the faithful. What is so amazing about this is that even here, God's wondrous grace can exchange the garment stained by the flesh for pure vestments, pure clothing. No one, not even the most defiled sinner, is beyond salvation through faith in Christ's redeeming work. We have looked at the exhortation from the apostles of the scoffers, the ungodly who follow their own ungodly passions. Then we looked at the exhortation of the faithful to grow, to progress, to build in the faith, to always move forward in the holy faith. Then we see Jude's exhortation of mercy. The faithful are to live a life full of mercy to all people. We must show caution not to fall ourselves, but to always show mercy on others, as Christ has shown great mercy on us. Now, in closing, we look at the doxology of joy in the last two verses, verses 24 through 25, the doxology of joy. This is a very well-known benediction, full of spiritual truth for the believers. The verses say, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen." The doxology of great joy. First, I want to see what this doxology is. Doxology is from the Greek meaning glory and oral or written expression. Therefore, doxology refers to an oral expression of praise and glorification to God. Jude was not writing about the possibility of the faithful, the possibility of the believers sinning and falling from God's family. He made it clear in Jude verse 1, "To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." The true believers are kept for Jesus Christ and cannot be lost. He is writing about the danger of the ungodly and the false teachers, and also about the believers' walk and growth in Christ and the danger of going astray and stumbling. If we do disobey God, we may confess our sin and receive his forgiveness. As we know, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We know this from 1 John 1:19. He will never permit one of his own to be lost. We know once we take that first step of salvation through grace alone, in faith alone, because of his sacrifice on the cross, we are then a child of God, and we are eternally secure in him. Jude's message of warning and judgment might have discouraged his readers with all the ungodly and the false teaching and immorality. So he ends his letter with this doxology, perhaps one of the greatest in the New Testament. He reminds us of God's ability to bring every one of his own safely to himself. God is able to keep us from stumbling. He gives assurance that he is able to keep the faithful from falling into sin and error. If the stumbling or falling is left unhindered, it will eventually lead to falling away from the faith. But Jude says God will never let his own fall away, but will keep. He will keep them by his grace and mercy. As we just read in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Furthermore, he will present us, the faithful, before his glorious presence, blameless, without fault. He will do this with great joy. The ESV Study Bible notes say, the only possible response to the work of God on behalf of believers is great joy, which suggests an exclamation of joy and praise. To the only God, our Savior. Yes, we serve the one and only God who redeemed us, our Savior. He is not just a Savior or the Savior. He is our Savior. He is our Savior through his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the mediator between the faithful and the Father. Through Christ, the church praises God, proclaiming, to God be the glory. Then Jude goes on to list four attributes that cause our praise to him. Glory, a word with many meanings, but refers here to his great honor, radiance, or moral splendor. Everything about him is glorious. Glory, the majesty, which refers to God's greatness. He is greater than all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory, majesty, dominion. Dominion has to do with God's sovereignty and rule over all things. The Greek word means strength and might, but it carries the idea of complete control over all things. His sovereign reign has no boundaries. Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Authority, which is the right to use power. All authority belongs to Jesus Christ. He rules over all creation. Before all time, before the beginning of time, he possessed these attributes. And now and forever, not only before time, but now in the present, and also in the future, God and all his glory are the same before time, the same today, in this present time, and the same for all time to come. He is never changing and always glorious. We see with all the talk of the ungodly and their judgment that is sure to come. We, the faithful, the children of God, we do not have to stumble. Stay in the Word and build your faith, hope, and love in Christ. Commit yourselves to contend for the faith, to stand against the ungodly when they come and try to pervert the truth and distort the gospel message. The enemy is subtle and dangerous. The dangers are great, but the only wise God our Savior, will keep you safe, and one day present you with great joy in glory. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come with great joy to proclaim your great deeds. Lord, we see the judgment and destruction of the ungodly. And Lord, we see the exhortation to build our holy faith in you. Lord, help us. Help us as we seek you. Help us to meditate in your word. Help us to grow in the truth. Help us to build, as we pray in you, our hope, our eternal hope in you. Lord, I pray that as we contend for the faith, you would give us the grace that we need every day to be bold, to take a stand for what is right, to do what is right, to obey and follow your commands. But Lord, we know we can only do this with your great grace and mercy that you bestow on us. So Lord, today we seek your grace. Lord, I ask that we would all go from this place today committed to building our faith, committed to contending for the faith that was delivered to us. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.